Good morning, everyone. We are delighted to address you with the report for the first quarter of 2017 from Tethys Oil. We are quite happy about what we have achieved this quarter. Virtually everything seems to be going our way. Again, we prove that this rather simple business model, produce oil, sell it, find more, actually seems to be working. We have nice revenues of close to $30 million, which is up on the previous quarter. EBITDA followingly also up to almost $20 million, and the net result at $6.7 million. Small increase in production compared to last quarter. We stand just at 12,500 barrels of oil per day, and this is partly due to a production limitation that is in effect following the OPEC decision to cut back a little on production. On the upside, of course, the average selling price per barrel increased compared to end of 2016, and we achieved actually a healthy $50 per barrel plus, which firmly shows that we yield good cash flow at $50 plus. Earnings positive, net cash increasing. We stand at a healthy $40 million in the bank, and quite a bit of operational activity, particularly on Blocks 3 and 4 onshore Oman. 14 wells were drilled. Two previously undrilled fault blocks were drilled on the Farha South field, and one undrilled structure on the Shahad field. All three came in successfully, were proved to be oil-bearing, and are hooked up to the production system. Possibly more importantly, an exploration well, that's to say a well slightly off the producing fields in a previously undrilled structure by the name of Erfan-1, came in, flowed oil to surface, and is on standby to be put into the production system. With the drilling success we've had this quarter, we have, of course, found more oil, and we have increased our production capacity. We are quite confident that when the production limitations are lifted, Tethys will be in a position to increase our production from the 12,000+ barrels per day we have seen over the last months. Turning to the asset base, it has changed little, to say absolutely nothing, from the previous quarter. Oman Blocks 3 and 4 stand as our star performer, where virtually all our production emanates from. Lithuania, holding in there, actually making money, still positive cash flow, a modest 109 barrels of oil per day net to us. For a depleting field, at least we seem to be approaching some sort of a plateau. The Lithuania blocks of exploration, Rytavis and Vesnai, are where they are, and we are evaluating data, looking for new opportunities, whereas France remains in the deep freeze. We are somewhat interestingly looking for the results of the French presidential election upcoming this Sunday. Turning to the next slide, let's contemplate our results. It's really only one number I want to highlight. They haven't changed, of course, since December 31st, 2016. If you look at the change in results for 2016, note that there was very little addition in the discovery side, a lot more in the revision side. Behind those numbers are actually the numerical manifestation of the fact that we have learned a lot about the petroleum systems on Blocks 3 and 4, and we're able to increase reserves simply by a better understanding of the fields, whereas we spent fairly little time and money on drilling new wells in new areas, which is something we have rectified over the first quarter, where, as we mentioned earlier, we have had considerable exploration success. We are quite happy about the development so far and look forward, of course, to see our reserves also increase. Turning to production, it's a reasonably flat line, And for all of 16 and so far 17, we have been hovering on average just above 12,000 barrels of oil per day. On a broader time scale, though, production has continued to increase, and between 14, 15, and 16, we've continued to increase our production. Obviously, as long as the production limitation is in place, we are not going to see any increase for 2017. But as I stated, giving our drilling success, we are confident once production limitations are lifted, we will be able to increase production. Now, when we come to numbers and the revenues, I will be more than happy to yield the floor to my esteemed colleague, Jesper Alm, our CFO. Jesper, please.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning, everyone. For the slides that I'm going to cover, I will talk about the numbers for Q4, excluding the effect of the metering error, to better illustrate the quarter-on-quarter development. So during Q1, our revenue increased by a healthy 10% compared to Q4 and stands at 29.3. And compared to the actual numbers for Q4, the increase is 49%. Turning page to sold barrels. During the quarter, we decreased our overlift position and now stand at around 13,000 in overlift position. And the production number in itself is somewhat lower than the Q4, but that is a function of fewer days in Q1, so our actual daily production was higher. Continuing to page 9, where we've seen the oil price increase from $46 per barrel in Q4 to slightly above 50 in Q1. Bearing in mind here that we have a two-month delay in achieving the oil price compared to the spot price, we expect to see a continued increase of the oil price over the coming months. On EBITDA, we increased that number by 20% quarter on quarter, and we have a healthy margin of 66%. On the expense side, page 11, OPEX came down 8% compared with Q4, and this turns into an OPEX per barrel of $7.6. To note here is that we have also decreased our depletion per barrel from 10 during 2016 to 8.9 in Q1, and this is following the increased reserves that we saw at the end of 2016. Turning to OPEX and netback per barrel, netback has increased by 19% quarter on quarter, with a netback of close to $19 per barrel. And we've seen the range over the past five quarters, OPEX per barrel 7.3 to 9.3. We now have 7.6 in Q1, and we will likely see something in the range close to last year's average for the rest of the year. Net result after tax is somewhat lower than Q4 at 6.7, and the major impact here is in Q4 a positive foreign exchange development, and in Q1 a negative foreign exchange development. Net result per share is 19 US cents during Q1. Turning to balance sheets, as Magnus covered, the net cash position is 40 million US dollars. And during Q1, depending on the outcome of the AGM, we expect to pay a dividend of 1 per share. Turning to oil and gas investments, we saw investments in total of 13 million during the quarter, of which the absolute majority, 12.9 million, were spent on Blocks 3 and 4. As we've previously stated, we expect full year 2017 to be fairly much in line with full year 2016. We will see continued quarter-on-quarter changes or small volatility throughout the rest of the year. What did these 12.9 million give us? On Block 3 and 4, we drilled a total of 14 wells during the quarter with a focus on the Farha South field. As you may know, our wells on the Farha South field are quite efficiently drilled due to depth and experience, and hence we managed to drill quite a few wells during the quarter. Shahad and Saiwan saw three new wells, and then we had the one exploration well totaling 14. With that brief introduction to the numbers, I'm more than happy to give the floor back to Magnus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesper. I'm extremely happy to address you again, ladies and gentlemen, in talking a little bit about our operational activity and, as the case is right now, operational success. If you turn to the Blocks 3 and 4 overview, still quite large blocks, 30,000 sq km, among the largest acreage positions onshore Oman. We have our three producing fields so far, the Farha South, the Shahad, and the Saiwan. We have ample seismic coverage for what so far is the main fairway that we have been able to develop and now understand more and more of. We will probably be looking to do some more seismic going forward as the exploration efforts continue. As I mentioned, in 2016, a lot of effort went into better understanding the producing areas we have and the petroleum systems that we have been able to prove. Farha South has been reasonably well understood for some time and remains a good bellwether producer, and every time we drill an appraisal well moving out of the central area, we seem to encounter oil and the field seems to grow. The Shahad and Saiwan fields have been and are much more complicated, but also there we are now maturing and increasing our understanding. Turning to the next slide, I will just briefly touch on the stratigraphy of the Blocks 3 and 4, and focus in particular on our main producing reservoirs. It's the clastic, the Barik sandstones, which are the producers in the Farha South field. Fault blocks, compartmentalized, but responds extremely well to water injection, well understood, easy to model. Then our carbonates in Blocks 4, the Khufai and the Buah. A lot more fickle, a lot more difficult. Now, as it has turned out, the Khufai continues up into Block 3, and there are areas where the Barik and the Khufai actually overlay each other. What this is going to mean for the future, we still don't know, but of course it would be very convenient if we were to be able to drill wells that could produce from all three reservoirs in one area. Turning to Farha South, we have here a map of the heavily faulted Farha South area, where we can see a number of the blocks that are currently both in producing and where water injection has been implemented. Standard procedure now is that as soon as a block has been drilled and found oil bearing, water injection is implemented within 6 months so as to optimize production and also recovery factors. Two blocks, those designated O for Oscar and C for Charlie, were drilled during this quarter. Both came in, and we still stand, and we're now actually, I think, approaching a drilling success ratio of well over 80% in the Far South area. And maybe more importantly, all the yellow dots here, or the yellow fault blocks, I should say, are prospective and as yet undrilled. Mapping is also ongoing, but we have a number of growth opportunities also in the Farah South field, which of course we will continue to pursue over the coming years. Turning to the Shahad field, Shahad produces from the Khufai and Buah reservoirs, and this quarter, the Shahad Q prospect is within the field. It's a structural high that turned out to be oil-bearing, producing from the Khufai. We have enhanced our understanding of the Khufai and the Shahad field, we have concluded that most likely a number of additional prospects are still there to be drilled. We have mapped about five of them so far. Mapping continues. But we have also been able to revisit the Sawan field, where very little has happened over the last couple of years. And if we turn to the leads and prospects map, we can see that the Irfan well, the exploration well that we successfully drilled in the first quarter, is actually to the southwest of the Sawan field. And it is drilled in the Khufai, producing from the Khufai, and could very well open up an area that we have as yet not fully mapped with the 3D coverage. The 3D is there. We are quite optimistic about continuing the work down in this side. And Shahad, Arfan, Sawan, they're all on one big carbonate platform where we are confident we will find even more oil than we have so far. The Ulfa 1 well has reached its total depth. It's being under evaluation, and it's actually in Block 3, where we'll see what horizons could be oil-bearing and if we can also actually make it produce. So being evaluated, but with the success we've had in the first quarter, we are, of course, optimistic about the continuation here. Remaining on the slide, you notice we have a number of prospects and an even larger number of leads, also in the far field areas away from the proven systems that we have now a much better understanding of than we had 4 or 5 years ago. So apart from the upside we see in the near field development, appraisal, exploration, we also have ample upside left further afield. So turning to conclusion, we've had a very good quarter, but all numbers and the drill bit in our operations have very much been going Tethys way. Production steady, production capacity increasing, and with a large number of additional prospects to drill, an increased understanding of where the oil is to be found, and with a number of prospects further afield from our current production, we believe that we can continue to grow Tethys from Blocks 3 and 4 for several years to come. Thank you, and questions.
Thank you. If you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll enter a key. After you're announced, please ask your question. Please hold until we have the first question. And our first question comes from Fredrik Pedersen from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Hello, Fredrik. Your line is now open.
Hello, guys. This is Fredrik from ABG. Just a quick question on well workover and the OpEx per barrel. You guided OpEx in line with average last year for the next three quarters. Would that imply that you're increasing the well workover costs, or is it on production cost?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Shortly, you had very low well workover in Q1 2017.
Yes.
Causing a low OpEx per barrel. You guided OpEx per barrel for the rest of the year, in line with average for last year. That would imply that well workover is coming up as well, or is it, is the well workover going to be?
Yeah.
Fairly low?
Looking at the past five quarters, the workovers were at the lowest cost during Q1, and we can expect that to even out going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Johan Spetz from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and good morning, Magnus and Jesper. Two questions on my end. Firstly, on your exploration drilling. So you reported the Erfan-1 well as flowing oil, and then you had the Ulfa-1, which is being evaluated. Could you talk a bit about the second one there, the Ulfa-1? It looks from the map that that's fairly close to the Farha South field, right? But you define it as being structurally different from the Farha South, or is it just that it's a sort of further step out compared to drilling additional blocks on the Farha South?
Thank you, Johan. It is reasonably close to the Farha South, but it's a slightly different concept, and we are trying to, shall we say, expand what we know about the working petroleum system in the Farha South area with a well. So it's quite interesting, and it's being evaluated now, and as soon as we have something more on it, we'll be more than happy to share that with all of you.
Right. And as opposed to the Erfan discovery, this Ulfa well, if you do find significant amounts of oil there, that would most likely be linked up with the existing Farha South infrastructure, I would assume.
That would certainly be a possibility, and even if it wasn't, I mean, if we have to do a standalone early production, we are confident we could bring it into production quite rapidly. But of course, Johan, as you noted, it is quite close to the production facilities in Farha.
Right. Right. And then secondly, on the production outlook, if we look, sort of try to look beyond the current quarter, of course, you have the OPEC, non-OPEC agreement putting a cap, or at least you've given a recommendation on what to produce during the time of that agreement. And of course, there is some chance of that being extended also for the second half of the year. But it seems to me like you're sort of building up production capacity now to be able to, as soon as the cap is lifted, so to say, to increase production. Is that a fair assessment?
That's the intention, and that's what we hope we are doing, yes.
And do you get any indications from the Omani government about the potential for the cap to be lifted now in the middle of the year, or do you think it will be extended for the second half of the year as well?
I think, Johan, your observations may be even better than ours. I think this is very much an overall open guide, OPEC guidance, and once we see where they go, we will get our feedback from the Omani government. But I would not expect anything until we know where all of OPEC is going. And that, of course, is how they estimate the OPEC production, the demand for OPEC production, and demand for other producers. Also, how resilient the American shale producers turn out to be, and for how long they can actually continue to increase production. For us, of course, we should bear in mind, I mean, I think we'd rather sell 12,000 barrels per day at 55 than a higher number at 35. So far it's working in our favor. But of course, we will look forward to the day when we can increase both production and oil price.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And as another reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. Okay, as there appear to be no further questions, I return the conference to you.
Well, thank you very much for listening in. We're delighted to be with you, and we look forward to addressing you again in about 3 months' time. Thank you, and have a nice summer.